Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galati along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, how'd you do over the weekend?
We got very wet here in State College, but that's good. To sound like an old man, we needed it, Jim.
we could use some rain here, Chris. You know, it's funny. We were talking a little bit about it off the air. Somehow, where I live in Bloomsburg now seems to avoid the rain most of the time. I see dark clouds to the north of me, to the south. I look at the radar. Storms seem to go around me. Rain was inevitable this time around. I was out of town. When I came back, I expected to see a mess. Not much happened. Maybe an inch of rain or so, but that's about it. So I survived it. Anyway, let's move on. Let's get to our topic of the day. And I sent you a note last week, Chris, what I wanted to talk about today. As we get close to the season, it's finally time. We got to talk about what's going on in the field, what's coming up. And I know some people have talked, given their list of the best players on Penn State, and you see the ranking. I wanted to do a little bit of a twist on that, which is, who are the most important players? And the difference being, I'm thinking it's mostly that we're looking for the players who are a bit of the variable, depending on they have a gap between their ceiling and their floor. And that's probably going to determine how Penn State's season is going to go. So that's where I wanted to head with this. We don't have to necessarily go in a specific order of the most important to the least or vice versa. But what I'd like to do is get each side of the ball. And let's start with the offensive side. And I just want guys that you think are important and why.
Sure. So what I did, Jim, when you suggested the topic, is I did actually rank order my top 10 offense and defense. I kind of thought, okay, let's go by attrition here and who's the most important and on down. And the way I defined importance is I thought about, now certainly you talk about best players versus most important players. In many cases, your best players are your most important, but because replacing them could be very difficult. So I thought about, where do you see the biggest drop off if this guy can't be on the field, and where does it reshuffle the depth chart in a negatively impactful way if you can't have this guy on the field? So my number one most important player to the 2024 Nittany Lions actually is on the offensive side of the ball, and that's Harrison Wallace. And that's because when you listen to all the buzz that's come out of camp, all the analysis that's coming from the various media outlets, everyone is emphasizing not just the jump that this guy has taken, but the way that he has distinguished himself from his fellow wideouts. Now, I will say that I got a chance to go to the open practice last week and paid a lot of attention to the receiver drills. There's some substance to that. I think that when you watch Trey Wallace and Julian Fleming, by the way, who for some reason that kind of escapes me, I feel he's getting dogged a little bit by a lot of the insiders. And I think, you know, this might be another one of these cases where we overhyped him coming in, so now we've got to correct by underhyping him. I think Julian Fleming's going to be fine. That guy looks like a man in the way that a lot of his other fellow receivers do not. I understand that he was maybe the quote-unquote trash of the Ohio State receiver room. Well, folks, I got bad news for you. Okay. Like, poverty wide receiver in Columbus is our treasure here in Happy Valley. But when you think about what an absolute hot mess the receiving corps was last year and how much emphasis is being placed on the importance of Trey Wallace, I think to myself, man, if that guy can't go, and bad news, he has a history of injuries, what does that do? Again, reshuffling the entire receiver depth chart. Who are you going to count on? Who can you rely on? Penn State really needs that guy to stay on the field and be productive, because we did see last year, when he is healthy, he can make plays on the ball that almost no one else in the Penn State receiving corps can. He can create separation in a way that a lot of our other guys, at least to this point, have not shown the ability to do. He's almost for certain the most complete receiver on the roster. He's the most experienced in terms of reps in a Penn State uniform, you know, impactful snaps, we'll say. He hasn't played a lot because he's been injured. To me, if Trey Wallace can't stay healthy, that is a bad omen for a position group that, to me, is the biggest question mark on the team.
Chris, I think that's a great choice because Trey Wallace, in my opinion, is the only one of the wide receivers who has star quality. He has the potential to be a star. He has the physical tools to do that. The most important variable for him is obviously health. He's got to be on the field to do that. But he might be the only guy on the roster capable of being a real number one wide receiver.
Yeah. Now, could Julian Fleming be that? Could Caden Saunders step up and be that former four-star that a lot of people had high expectations for coming in? You know, could Tysier Denmark, who James Franklin shouted out in his media availability this past week, could he, you know, recall Derek Williams or Deion Butler or Deshaun Hamilton and break out as a freshman? Yeah, sure, all of these things could happen. But the point is who, based on the information we have, based on the evidence our eyes have shown us, is the least replaceable player on the entire Penn State football team? To me right now, that's Trey Wallace.
If I gave you Trey Wallace versus the field to be the star wide receiver, are you taking Trey Wallace or are you taking the field?
I'm taking Wallace.
Of course. That's the point, and that's why he is so important. And the capability is there, Chris. He has the physical tools to do those things.
Yeah, 7 catches, I believe, in the West Virginia game. And his ability to make contested catches. Like I said, he's got a really nice toolkit and seems very focused. Again, you watch him with the other receivers, you can tell just a little more polished, a little more developed. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be a weapon for Drew Allard this year, and Penn State absolutely needs him too. That's why he's my number one most important guy on the 2024 team.
I think that's a great pick. I do want to comment, though, on your comments on Julian Fleming, that he came in with the fanfare, and now it's as if they're intentionally trying to lower the expectations. Well, when James Franklin is asked about the guy and he says he's been solid, Chris, when you say solid, you lower the expectation.
I know. I know you're hung up on this. Again, you're measuring by the standards of the Penn State receiving room right now. Like, I think James rightly is very hesitant to amp these guys up until we see them actually make some plays in a regular season game. There have been a lot of correct comparisons between where he is with the receivers right now and where he was with the O-line a few years ago. And I like that. Don't overpromise and underdeliver. So let's not get too hung up on the solid or any of that. Julian Fleming's going to be fine.
Too late, Chris. I'm already overreacting to it. But to the point where you say he'll be fine. You know what? That's what I need from this wide receiver group. Give me solid. Give me fine. Give me when it's 3rd down and 5. He will catch the ball 7 yards down the field and get the first down.
Yeah.
Just give me that.
That would be nice.
Just catch the ball, period,
would be terrific.
Right. I'm not looking for spectacular from him. I want him to be the number two wide receiver behind Trey Wallace, and I want him to be fine. I want him to be solid. I want those things because we didn't have that last year, Chris.
And listen, if the only thing Julian Fleming brings to the receiver room this year is the pedigree of having been coached by Brian Hartline for 4 years and been in one of the best receiving rooms in the country and being around some of the best players at that position, and elevating the expectations and the professionalism in that group, which supposedly he has done, that might be enough alone.
Well, it kind of hits on the fact that that's what was missing in the wide receiver room a year ago.
For sure.
So he filled a very big, very large void there.
And listen, just one final thing on the receivers, since I know we're kind of up against the break for too long. I do think there's maybe some, potentially, based on how these guys are made up mentally, there's maybe some advantage to these guys hearing, and trust me, they hear it. All the schlubs like me saying, oh, this was one of the worst receiving cores I've seen, not only at Penn State, but at any power program in all of Division I. That's motivating, because the one thing, if you think back to last season, when the question was, who's going to be the number two wide receiver? Who's going to be the number three wide receiver? I wasn't too worried about it, and I think a lot of people weren't, because they just looked at the number of guys we had in the room, and they said, listen, the talent's there. Penn State hasn't recruited that poorly at the position. These are talented athletes. You only need to hit on one of them and you'll be fine. And you know, the only problem is you did have to hit on that one and they didn't. So the ability that had us feeling a lot more confident last offseason than we're feeling right now is still there. And, you know, maybe it's just an additional year in the program, more reps. You know, again, elevating, like we talked about, the professionalism in the room via Fleming coming in kind of the same way that a few years ago, coming off a terrible performance from the running backs in 2021, two true freshmen named Nick Singleton and Catron Allen show up and they transform that room. And maybe that's all it takes with the extra added fire and motivation of hearing everybody doubt them to kick this position group up a notch.
And I'll add to that, Chris, something that you mentioned earlier about the leadership in the room. And maybe this is me dogging Lambert Smith a little bit, but I felt that there wasn't the guy there in the room providing the leadership, the work ethic, those kind of things that everyone would follow and model themselves off of. Everything we hear about Julian Fleming is that is the case. I also think it's promising that there was a lot of turnover in that room. A lot of guys are no longer in that room. And I'm thinking that performance last year is the reason why they're not in that room anymore. It's a fresh start, new offensive coordinator, a lot of good things. Fingers crossed for that group, Chris. All right, we got through one name. We'll get to more in quarter number two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris Buchanani. I am Jim Galante. It's quarter number two of our show. Chris, we're talking about your list of most important players on this Penn State team for the 2024 season. We decide we're going to split it up between offense and defense. We're starting on the offensive side of the ball. We got through one of your five names on the list, and that was a great choice with Trey Wallace, the wide receiver. The point being, he's the one guy who could be that real number one wide receiver. That is critical to this team's offense. Who's number two on your list?
So this is number two on offense, number three overall is the tight end, Tyler Warren. And again, for not just what he contributes on the field, but what his absence would do to the depth chart at the position. Now, I think we feel good about the talent pipeline at tight end, but when you look at the drop-off in just meaningful snaps played and impact made on games from Tyler Warren down to Khalil Dinkins or Rapelier or any of the other guys they feel could step up and make a big contribution as a number two tight end this year, it's pretty substantial. And again, we talked about the importance of Trey Wallace, and we talked about the concern that the receiving corps may still be a couple notches below where we need them to be. That just increases the importance, in my opinion, of Tyler Warren, not just as a security blanket for Drew Aller and the quarterbacks, but as a playmaker, as a primary receiver. So when I think about where do we lose a lot if we have to replace X guy, Tyler Warren is way high on that list.
Another very good choice. And I'm curious to see what Andy Kotelnicki has up his sleeve for him. I got to believe Kotelnicki's mindset is getting the ball in the hands of playmakers. And I think Tyler Warren not only is a playmaker, but he's almost an instant mismatch with whoever you put up against him from the defensive side. And if you're Andy Kotelnicki, you got to look at that and say, I could really do something here with him. And I hadn't thought about it, but you brought up a good point also. I often talk about the tight end position being something you never worry about, because there was the great guy last year, great guy this year, somebody in line on this year's team to be the star next year. Not sure you have that quite yet in the tight end room. There's a lot coming. You mentioned Rapelier's name. There's Luke Reynolds. I'm not sure Khalil Dinkins has established himself yet as that, not just number two, but number two with a star ready to rise to number one as soon as that happens. It may be there. We haven't seen that yet, the way we saw that from Tyler Warren coming in last year, coming into this season.
Yeah, and so, here's the thing. I like all those kids, and I think if any of them were pressed into service, they would probably rise to the occasion. But, you know, you cannot replace a Gary Bertier, and you cannot replace a Tyler Warren. So his role as an essential cog in this year's offensive machine, I think, is critical. I got him as the third most important guy on the roster. I might have him underranked a bit.
Very good. All right. But he's number two on the offensive side of the ball. Who is number three?
So my number four guy right after Tyler Warren, and this one might be a little unexpected, but here's my rationale, is J.B. Nelson.
Ooh.
And this is why. When you and I talked a little bit before we started on the air today, Jim, you talked about the replacing two offensive tackles. And obviously that is a big deal. Two out of those four guys who are in the competition for the two bookend spots, we are hoping distinguish themselves and can play well. The reason why, and as a result, any one of those guys, whoever ends up winning the competition, becomes incredibly important, right? But right now, we don't really know who it is. Is Drew Shelton going to hang on? Is Javon Williams going to step up? Is Anthony Danko or Todd Rucci going to win the other tackle spot? The reason why I mentioned Nelson is that there has been buzz out of camp, and James, again, unprompted. You always read we talk about reading the press conference tea leaves, the way you're hung up on him using the word solid with Julian Fleming. You look at who does he bring up that he's not prompted to bring up, and he talked about J.B. Nelson's flexibility to play different positions. And one of the things you have heard some talk about is, could J.B. Nelson, because he has that size and that nasty streak, and James talks about him being able to play left tackle, could he actually end up winning that left tackle job and then free up more flexibility for Cooper Cousins to get on the field with Nick Dawkins, with Cousins playing one of the guard spots? And then, you know, you just pick your best guy out of the remaining tackles to go over to the right side. Or could he even go over to the right side, play right tackle? He has a little bit of an injury history, but he played pretty well, especially down the stretch last year. And I think that flexibility and what he brings to the table in terms of being allowing Phil Troutwein to get his best five on the field, to me, is he's the guy that if I'm just going to have a stand-in for the overall importance of the offensive line, if I have to pick one person right now with the tackle position so in flux, he's the one that I think offers the staff the most flexibility. So I'm keyed in on JB Nelson, but it also in some ways just a proxy for how important it is that they get the tackle spots right.
Well, first of all, did you say Todd Rucci?
Maybe, probably. You know, I have gotten to that Joe Paterno point in my life where I will sometimes give the dad's name instead of the kids.
That's okay. We call that you're an experienced fan, is what that means, Chris.
Correct.
I appreciate your explanation of why JB Nelson, and that makes a lot of sense. I did my cheating a little bit different than you did, okay? The way I cheated with the offensive line is I just said generically the tackles, okay? And my reason for that is they lost two NFL tackles from last season's team. So I like the depth there. I like the quantity and quality of those players. But boy, those are two rather massive holes to fill, okay? And I'm not just talking about the size of the players. It's the abilities. You know, you had an Olu on there who was a top 10 NFL draft pick on his blind side. Replacing that, Chris, that's pretty important. All right. You have J.B. Nelson was your number three after Tyler Warren, number two, and Trey Wallace, number one. Of course, these are on the offensive side of the ball. Who's next on your list?
Okay, so I will give you both of the remaining offensive guys. I didn't do this on purpose, that I did end up splitting them five and five. Number six overall on my list is Drew Aller, and number nine is Nick Singleton. Now, look, Jim, you know me. If I could, I would just leave the quarterback off the list entirely, but of course, the most important position on the field. Clearly, Drew Aller is going to be critical to the success of this team. You need your five-star former number one in his class to step up and play like his recruiting pedigree. The reason why I have him below some of those other guys, and we'll talk about the defensive players I've ranked above him, is, again, I talk about what is the impact if they're not able to play. And at least we know, if nothing else, with Drew Aller, we've got a capable backup who can step in and probably run the type of offense that Andy Kotelnicki ran at Kansas in Bo Prabula. So that's why I don't have him ranked in the top five. But nevertheless, we don't really know who Bo Prabula is as a passer, especially on a down in and out basis as we go through the rigors of a Big Ten schedule. So Drew Aller is very, very important. And I may even have him also a little underranked just because I hate quarterbacks. But certainly he's very important. I don't think you have to spend too much time on that because, duh, right? I'm not blowing the audience's mind with telling them Drew Aller is important to the 2024 Nittany Lions.
I think Drew Aller, I would have him a bit higher than you because I do think there's a variance there, and we need him to be better than what he was a year ago. It's not just a get, you know, like – when Sean Clifford came in for his 13th season, you knew exactly what you were getting from him. And I would have him very low on the list. Drew Aller, I feel like there's still a big variable of what we're going to see there. And because of that, I think that's important. It might be the receivers are the variable there more than he is. And I can make a pretty good argument that that's the case. Nick Singleton, I think the only question there is that explosive play type deal, but I think it's less about him and more about Andy Kotelnicki putting him into position for that.
I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, there's any question. I mean, we got to test this in a live fire environment last season. What kind of a player did Nick Singleton look like while Mike Yurcich was calling the plays? And then how did he look after Mike Yurcich was gone? And it was night and day. And the reason why I put him on the list and not Catron Allen, and both of those guys are critical to the success of this year's team, is I think about, okay, if one of them had to miss time, where would Penn State lose more? And if you lose Catron Allen, which again, you don't want to do, both these guys are critical. You do have a guy in Cam Wallace who looks like he's ready to go and looks like he could bring some of that power element that you have with Catron. Whereas if you lose Nick Singleton, I do think there is that element of explosivity that I'm not really sure. I mean, maybe Quentin Martin is going to bring that, but again, I'm not really sure. You have one dynamic of all the great things those two can do together as a shared backfield that you can replicate without him. So that's why I put him on the list. But again, once you're getting down to that point, you're splitting hairs a little bit. But if I was going to say, where does Penn State lose more offensively if one of these two great running backs can't be on the field for a while, I go with Nick Singleton. But it's close for sure.
I think that's a very good call. You have a very good list on offense. You and I are very close with the list on offense. I think the difference, you said J.B. Nelson, I said the tackles. Okay, that's just a little difference in how we
address. They're your rules, Jim. You're Neo in the Matrix. You can do whatever you want.
And I also had one more cheat where on the receivers, Trey Wallace at the top, I think I put together Amari Evans, Kalen Sanders, Liam Clifford, and said, I want to see one of them step up to be that number three receiver. That is the one other variable, I think, in the wide receiver room. All right, Chris, that's it. Quarter number two. When we come back, quarter three, we'll talk defense.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. It's quarter number three and quarter number one and two. Chris, we were talking most important players on the offensive side of the ball. Now we're going to shift to the other side. Just to do the quick wrap up on the other side, you had Trey Wallace as number one most important guy on the offense, Tyler Warren, tight end, at number two, J.B. Nelson, an interesting pick, but I love the explanation of why J.B. Nelson and his versatile ability is so important to the offensive line. And then number four and five, you have Drew Aller and Nick Singleton. It's obvious how important they are, but it'd be interesting to see how those guys would be replaced if they ever had to. You know what? I always say, Chris, I'm not looking for Drew Aller to be replaced by Bo Prabula. However, my curiosity would just love to see what this team would look like with Bo Prabula at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know how much I love talking about quarterbacks, Jim, so thanks for bringing it up again. I do have a strong intuition that our fascination with Bo is somewhat akin to the fascination fans of football teams always have with the backup quarterback, and I'll leave it at that.
I'm sure it is part of that. All right, let's move on. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. You've got your list of five more most important players, and I'm really intrigued by this side of the ball, and let me tell you why. Because on offense, the names are pretty obvious, and how you rank them, there'll be some people who will disagree with your ranking, Chris, because obviously the quarterback's the most important guy. Nick Singleton's your best player, conceivably, or is Tyler Warren, you know, those kind of things. On defense, though, where on offense, it's really pretty finite, the number of guys to list. On defense, I swear to God, I have about 23 names listed here as potential guys to be the most important, be on our list of important guys.
Yeah, it's challenging because you can define importance a lot of different ways. And in many respects, I think it's a good problem to have, because I think when you're talking about who's important on the defense, you're really talking about, man, the number of potential game-breaking talents that Tom Allen has at his disposal. So if you love to watch great Penn State defense, as I do, and I think you do too, Jim, I think the fact that you have trouble making a list like this in this case is a positive. Whereas when you talk about offense, you're thinking, oh, God, we lose that guy, not so good. We lose this guy, not so good. Defense, you're just going down a roster of playmakers.
Right, yes. On offense, you're kind of like, ooh, how bad would this be if this guy's out?
Right, right.
On defense, you're saying, oh, my goodness, who's that guy who's going to be the star? Because there's so many different guys who might step up and be the star on this team on defense. And you're right. I am with you. Last year's defense, they were so much – besides being effective, they were so fun to watch, Chris. So entertaining that, yes, if you were raised as a Penn State fan back in the era that I was, that you were, you love the tradition of the Penn State defense. You love that it's carrying on. So let's get to it. Who's number one on your list, most important players on defense?
Yeah, so this is number one on defense, my number two overall. And in this case, Jim, I think it's a case where the lazy answer is actually the right one, in that I put Abdul Carter there. And maybe I would have thought about this a little bit differently before Jameel Lyons was dismissed from the team. But losing him at defensive end really does thin out your depth at edge rusher. And again, when you just think about nationally who is considered the name on the Penn State defense, when you listen to how effusive the Big Ten Network guys were in their praise of Carter and what they were seeing out of him when they came and got to sit and watch an entire practice, what the question comes back to, what is the impact of losing X player on the team overall, on his teammates, on the depth chart? I really do believe that Abdul Carter has the potential to be one of the most disruptive pass rushers, not only in the conference, but maybe in the entire country. And so you can't replace that if you lose it. The playmaking ability, the versatility, what he brings in terms of Tom Allen loves to scheme up different ways to move talents around and put them on different put them at different places on the field. What that means to opposing offensive coordinators, having to game plan around one guy and always be aware of where number 11 is on the field, and then just the importance of pressuring the quarterback. I really don't see how you look at this year's defense and have a player who's more important than Abdul Carter. Again, even though I know it's the obvious answer, I just kept going over it and over it because I thought this is the dumbest, this is the clearest, most obvious answer. There's got to be someone else. No, there's not. Sometimes the most obvious answer is the right one. And in this case, I think it's Abdul Carter for sure.
I think you're right. Obviously, I think he's the most talented guy there. I think the importance of putting pressure on the quarterback, so critical, Chris. I also think he fills in that question that I have, which is there a variable? Is there a variance in the performance? And I think the fact that he's switching from linebacker to defensive end, and throw in what James Franklin talked about, where game to game, we're going to adjust where he's going to attack from. It creates enough of a variable with him and a variance in what we're going to see, that it does make him the most important. Like you, I was trying to find a way to not have him be the most important. I wanted as well, he's Abdul Carter, we know exactly what we're getting. Deny Dennis Sutton might be the most important because what he does on the other side, because the offenses are going to be focusing on Abdul Carter. But at the end of the day, you're right, it's Abdul Carter. He's the most important guy.
I think you put a nice button on it, man. I wish I could blow everybody's mind with a sleeper pick here, but who's the most important player on the 86 Giants, right? You know, if you have a standout game breaking talent, you can't replace them if they're not able to go.
Exactly. Lawrence Taylor, by the way, is the answer to the 86 Giants question for those of you who are too young to remember that time
frame. Google's a thing, everybody. do your homework.
All right. That's number one, the obvious number one. Who do you have at number two on the defensive side?
So my number five most important player overall, number two defensively, is the middle linebacker, Kobe King. And again, I keep coming back to what happens if you have to replace said guy, right? And first of all, I just want to issue some praise for Kobe King. There was some talk when we brought him in that he was almost an afterthought to his brother, Kalen, that he was the lesser thought of the two recruits, that maybe we just took him because we thought it would help get Kalen on campus. And I think what he has done in terms of his year-to-year evolution into a very instinctive football player is so impressive. I think it reflects very well on him. I understand the linebacker position continues to change, so there aren't as many spots for a guy like Kobe King at the next level. But nevertheless, I still just think who he is as a football player is going to give him the best shot of somebody who is built like him and plays like him to go and play on Sundays is anybody in that boat in the country. And so I think just what he brings in terms of leadership and being in the right place at the right time, every time, like a Ron Vanderlinden coached linebacker, is my favorite thing. I always said Vandy's linebackers, and he sent a long succession of them to the pros, was they were in the right place at the right time, every time. That's Kobe King. But what elevates him even higher on my list in terms of importance is that we're going to have an obligatory PSU podcast drop this week where we talk about changes in college football. And we talked about the addition of helmet comms and the green dot and who is getting the instruction from the sideline and communicating with Tom Allen, the defensive coordinator. And Brandon Noble talks a lot about the importance, how critical it is to have a smart heads up, capable, experienced guy in that role. And Kobe King's going to wear the green dot for Penn State. So I think with that new wrinkle added in this season, Jim, he becomes all the more important to this year's team. And I think about when you take him off the field, especially on first and second down, like if he can't go, who replaces him? Maybe it's Tyler Elsden, who is experienced, but just physically can't do all of the things that Kobe King does. Or maybe it's Tamir Robinson, who has gotten a lot of buzz in camp, but really hasn't played any. He's going to be a redshirt freshman. So having an experienced guy who could do all the things that Kobe King can do in that role, to me, makes him very, very important to this defense.
What I like best about Kobe King, and you did allude to this, Chris, is that year-to-year improvement. He got much better from his second year in the program to his third year in the program.
And remember, I think where he is now exceeds where he was projected to be when I feel he was maybe being undervalued as a recruit a little bit in high school.
I have no doubt about that you are correct with that. And remember, you know, there's the old, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. A couple years ago, I think you could say that at middle linebacker. It was a timeshare with Kobe King, Tyler Elsden, and I don't think anyone was particularly happy with either one of them. Kobe King, credit to him, Chris, because he made himself a much better player than he was previously. And if it's with all of these star linebackers, these guys who could do such wonderful things, when you had Abdul Carter playing at linebacker, and then you had Tony Rojas coming in, but it's that middle linebacker position just seems to get overlooked. But you got to have the guy who does the dirty work in the middle, Chris.
Yeah, and again, the guy who's taking the communication from the defensive coordinator. And just quickly, you mentioned Tony Rojas. He's another guy who could be on this list. I mean, there are some question marks around linebacker for Penn State.
And yeah, mentioning Tony Rojas, obviously, see, that is what we were talking about at the start of this segment, Chris, is there's just so many guys on this defensive side who get put on the list. When we come back, we'll get the rest of your names, though. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Chris. I'm Jim. We're going over Chris's list of most important players going into Penn State's 2024 season. First couple segments, we talked about the offensive side of the ball. Now, starting in quarter three, we're getting to Chris's top five on the defensive side of the ball. He started with Abdul Carter, number one, Kobe King, number two. Chris, where are we going to go from here?
All right, so here's my next name on defense, seventh overall on my list, and that is Amin Vanover. And this goes back to what we were talking about with Abdul Carter and the importance of rushing the quarterback and how Penn State's depth has been thinned out there with the loss of Lyons. I suppose you could have put Dennis Sutton in here as well, but here's the point. If Dennis Sutton doesn't play like we're expecting him to, we got a real problem, all right? Because he and Carter are projected as the two starters at the defensive end spots. So we almost have to just hope that we can take him playing at a high level as a given. The question then becomes, who's the next guy up? We like to rotate our defensive linemen. We like to have the luxury of moving Abdul Carter around. We like to sometimes go, I assume Tom Allen is going to do the same thing that Manny Diaz is in terms of going with three edge rushers on the line in passing downs. And so you need Amin Vanover to live up to all the praise James Franklin has heaped on him in his first couple of press conferences this season. And so if, I think about it, Jim, if you lose Vanover, then your number one guy and your number two guy off the bench at defensive end aren't there. And then you are dipping into a pool of potential. A word that has gotten a lot of college football coaches fired over the years, as they say. So if I'm picking between who do I think is more critical, he is like a linchpin guy to the depth at pass rush for Penn State. So Vanover is my guy.
You know how when we started segment three with talking about the defense, and I said I've got about a dozen names here, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Amin Vanover was not one of those names on my list.
I think it is so important that he plays well because, again, if he doesn't perform up to or above expectations, then, again, it's basically like he's injured, right? You're having to count on those two guys I just mentioned, the starters, logging heavy reps. I don't know that you could move Carter around as much. And we just don't know. There's just all question marks about the depth after him.
Well, it does.
Because we don't know when we're going to get Zariah Fisher back.
It does play into just how many critical guys there are on the defensive side. I would have put Deni Dennis Sutton in there. Partly, Chris, because I'm not sure he is actually just a given. I think there is, probably a big part of this is he wasn't the starter. He wasn't one of the big two a year ago, okay? So I still want to see it. I know it's all there. I know the potential is there. And I also feel like he is the perfect complement to Abdul Carter. But what I want is I want offenses and offensive line specifically to have to worry about Danai Dennis-Sutton.
Sure.
To give Abdul Carter a chance.
Well, I think all the more reason that you want to have a durable guy who can rotate in there and keep him fresh and allow coaches to manage his reps. If Vanover cannot be a guy who, given the amount of football he's played for Penn State and what they think of him, who comes off the sideline and you see minimal drop-off from one of the two starters, man, that really starts to put you in a pinch in terms of what you can do and just how much wear and tear you put on these guys over the season.
And it also tells you, again, more about this defense. When you're naming as the third most important guy on the defensive side, a guy who's not going to be starting. He's not one of the starting 11, Chris.
Well, one area where I am a little bit more concerned than I think a lot of people are, and it's reflected in my next pick, is the defensive line. I think we have just sort of taken as gospel that Penn State has a ton of depth and talent on the defensive line, and we don't even have to worry about it. You know, paradoxically, I think we came into the offseason worried about the secondary and pretty secure in the D-line. And as we go into the season, I'm actually a little bit worried that the defensive line depth is a mirage, and I think we've got an embarrassment of riches in the defensive backfield. I'm much less worried about that. But Devon J. Thomas is my next guy. Right below Amin on my top 10 and definitely next on defense. And that's Devon Elise, who changed his last name in the offseason, folks, in case you missed it. But the reason why I went with Devon, Jim, is again, he's sort of a proxy just in terms of overall defensive tackle depth. But I look at him in particular just because of the amount of experience he brings to the table, kind of like Kobe King, the number of things he does and does well on a consistent basis. If you lose that, once again, you're just starting to project a little bit. Well, yeah, we've heard buzz around Zane Durant. And, you know, again, it seems to be going on this offseason. And I'm crossing my fingers. I hope so. But I like known commodities. I like guys who I have seen do it and do it repeatedly over a prolonged period of time. And for me, that's Devon. He's a leader in that group. He's a leader for the team overall. And he's somebody who backs that up with his play on the field. And if he can't go, I think you just lose an element that is very difficult to replace.
I had Devon's name down also, but just to show you the how we're thinking very similar is I think the tackle position had to be represented on this list somewhere for
Absolutely.
Exactly the reason why you presented it. But instead of Devon J. Thomas, I'm going to have trouble changing. I'm not good with change, Chris, okay? But I will work at it. Let's just call him Devon. I went with Zane Durant
Sure.
on the list. And again, I keep leaning on my variable argument, which is like, this is a guy, you want Devon to be there. There's that consistency. You know it. You know what you're going to get. You'd miss it if it wasn't there. I guess I just look at Zane Durant as that guy with the potential breakout ability, you know, to come out and be something very, very special. And again, maybe I'm falling a little bit for the hype that we're hearing about him, but that's why I put him there. But you could have put any of the names of the tackles. You could have had Akeem Beamon, I think, on this list. And it's probably another one of those where maybe we would have been best off cheating and just say defensive tackle, Chris. But you could pick a name from that list of group of tackles and put them on the list.
Yeah, and by the way, I do realize when I was talking about edge rusher depth, I was talking about a lot of unproven youth behind the top three guys. We should also note there's some unproven old age as well in Smith Vilbert, who has been the program, I think, since Joe Pa was here. But speaking of Paterno, by the way, and the defensive line, I just got to take a moment to shout out Deion Barnes, who is really carving out one of the great Penn State stories. A guy who was recruited by Joe, came to Penn State and kept his commitment, played for Bill O'Brien in his first year and was Big Ten Freshman of the Year, played for Larry Johnson, and is now coaching and recruiting against Larry Johnson and doing a hell of a job. One of the reasons why I'm not super worried, even though I do have questions about the defensive line depth and production, is just because I think Deion Barnes is an absolute star, not just as a recruiter, but he's shown himself to be that, but as a developer of talent. And the fact that he's a former Nittany Lion who's got that backstory, I mean, I love it. I love it. I love the idea of him going head-to-head with LJ Sr. to try to flip Zahir Mathis's commitment, really. So when we talk about can Zane Durant make that jump, are we going to be secure with shuffling around, losing some depth on the defensive line? To me, Deion Barnes' presence coaching that group does settle things in my mind.
Also with him, Chris, I love his story also, but I always root for the internal hire, okay? I like when that happens.
Yeah.
And James Franklin doesn't automatically do that. I think it's become pretty obvious. He had some good options, internal options, when he had to hire coordinators, and he chose to go outside. And even so, when he talked about the hire for the defensive line, Deion Barnes wasn't the slam dunk pick. And I believe James Franklin, because of his track record, that he did go look outside until it became obvious Deion Barnes was the right guy. So,
oh, yeah, he was forthright about the fact that he went into it thinking he did not want to make the internal hire, because that just seemed like the low-hanging fruit, not the easiest path, and that Deion just went in there and took it. And when you see the success he's having on and off the field, recruiting trail and player development, it's obvious why. So the fact that the Penn State guy was the one who earned the job is a great story. So yeah, I'm stoked about Deion.
And so, with James Franklin's history, like I said, you know, he validly earned the position, Chris.
For sure. So my last guy, as we wrap up here, Jim, is KJ Winston. And again, I talk about how bullish I am on the depth in the secondary overall, both at corner and at safety. And so when I was trying to look for a name, I just thought, look, you and I both love this guy, and I think have for a couple of years. He is earning a ton of praise from his teammates and from the coaches. And what I think about just unique ability that would be impossible to replace, despite the fact that we have some really, really talented kids all over the secondary, KJ's the guy. He is the transcendent talent who, if he can't go, you cannot replace individually or in the aggregate in terms of the total package he brings.
He's an absolute star, Chris. And when our buddy Landon says to me, you know what, he's the first guy into the training room, into the weight room, he's the last guy to leave, he does all the right things also, makes me root for him all the more. I had his name down and AJ Harris also, because I think they're both two guys with such a great high end. AJ Harris, I know, yet is new to us Penn Staters, but boy, I think there's a lot of talent there, Chris. But
yeah, also, I thought about including him long and hard for sure.
It's a name that we're going to be talking about a lot. All right, Chris, a fantastic list, but that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.